Learn it faster. So this video has led to a large number of salvations. It's led to a lot of Israelis getting New Testaments that they never read before, and a lot of seekers came out, and we still have reactions to it. It also led to a lot of persecution, which is not surprising. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I'd like to pass this around. This is for a newsletter, because I'm only going to share a few.
This is the best newsletter. I want to read it every month, and the stories just are so faith-building, and the prayer requests are just like so deep too. So
Oh,
it's my
thank
favorite.
you. Wow. Okay. I just always make it clear it's not political news. There are enough people doing that already. It's like Wendy said, it's testimonies of what God is doing in the land. And so, yeah, with the video, we have a new video now that just came out. And Richard and I are editing the English subtitles, like you saw here, so that you all can see it and understand it, because obviously it's all in Hebrew. It's the English isn't ready yet. But we went ahead and posted the Hebrew-only one. And so this gave us kind of a picture of what's happening with the Israeli public and the response. It's only been out 1 month on Facebook, and we have almost 100,000 views. So it just shows you the hunger in the land. And the idea behind this video is it's called The Great Jewish Leader. And so it's again the man on the street kind of format where we're going to ask you a question about, we're going to give you a few quotes and a few things that this great Jewish leader did. And let's see if you can guess who it is. And so now, just an example, like if somebody were to say to you, or even to maybe a family member who doesn't know the Lord, well, there was this great Jewish leader. He went up on a hill and he had a lot of his followers with him, and he fed, and the people were hungry, and he fed 5,000 people. You would know who that was right away, and even your family would if they're not yet believers. But in Israel, we don't know anything good about Yeshua because of the history. And so people just had no clue. But you see them when they hear all the things that Yeshua did, and how he healed the sick and showed compassion on the poor, and just the love that came out of our Messiah. When people hear this and they don't know it's Jesus, you can see them right on the camera. They're just falling in love with him. And then when they hear it's Yeshua at the end, they have one of two responses. Either they're really angry because they just said all those good things about Yeshua and they're on camera. And if they really wanted, I mean, we had them sign a waiver, but if they really were upset and they wanted us to remove them, then of course we did. We're not into forcing anybody. But most of the responses were, wow, I never knew that about him. Tell me more. And so, right then on the street, being able to share about who the Messiah is and what he really did without all the cultural accoutrements that get in the way of who he is. He's just the Melech HaKavod, the King of Glory. And so, it's such a privilege to stand in Israel and do that. So, I'll share a couple more testimonies with you, and then I want to have a little bit of time also for questions that you might have. There's another thing I like to do in Israel, and I generally don't do it here in America, but I go hitchhiking and I share Messiah that way. Or I pick up hitchhikers. Cars are very expensive in Israel. We have just one. And so if my husband is working with our son in Haifa and I want to go see our grandchildren in Tzfat, then I'll hitchhike up there. And so one time I was standing there, and by the way, this is how you hitchhike in Israel. It's not like this, just in case you ever want to know. So I was standing there like this, and this old car drove up, and the guy inside, he had a beard down to here, and the peyote, the side curls, to, like down to here. And he rolled down the window and looked at me and said, "Elokim ohev otach, God loves you." And I looked at him and said, "Kenan, you know that? Yes, I know that." And he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Tzfat." By the way, tzfat is safed in English. You remember in the New Testament when Yeshua was standing in Kfar Nahum in Capernaum, and he told the people about the city on a hill? That's tzfat. Yeah, it's an ancient city on a hill. And it's the only city you can see from Capernaum. So he asked me, where are you going? And I said, tzfat. And he said, wow, that's where I live. God must really love you. So, you know, let's go. Let's get in the car. Now, typically, this is another change that we've seen in the last year and a half or so. Ultra-Orthodox Jewish men won't even talk to a woman, let alone let her get in the car with him. So I was kind of surprised, but okay. You know, it's Israel's full of surprises. So we began to talk. And he said to me, you know, like, what do you do? And, well, couldn't exactly say, well, I'm an evangelist and a worship leader. I told him what we do, what our tent-making ministry is. We actually welcome tour groups into our home for an evening of worship, and we share about, just like I'm doing now, what God is doing. Our hope, and the reason I'm here, our hope is to raise up informed intercessors for Israel. Yeah. And so I told him about the groups that come, and he said, oh, they're Jewish groups, right? And I said, no, not Salim, Christian groups. And he looked at me and said, why? and then I kind of said like this. I said, look, you know as well as I do that the only true friends we Jews have are the truly born-again Christians. You all are the only ones who stand with us in times of war, in times of persecution with all our neighboring Muslim countries. And even in times of war, all the tour groups cancel, but the born-again Christians keep coming and standing in the land. And Jewish people have seen that, and it has been such a witness, such a testimony. So actually the rabbi agreed with me because, oh, I forgot to mention, because I asked him, what do you do? And he is a rabbi. He founded a yeshiva, a school for rabbis in Sfat. And so quite a, yeah, well-known person in the area, I guess. And yeah, but it doesn't matter to me. I'll talk to anybody about the Lord. And so, yeah, now the whole time I was praying, Lord, where can I put you in this conversation, but without getting thrown out of the car, because I needed to pick up my grandson on time from kindergarten. I was helping my daughter who lives there. And so I waited till we got closer to the city, and just in case. And the rabbi was talking about how beautiful the Galilee is. That's what we were talking about, and it is. It's just exquisite. And I said to him, oh, you know what? That reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses. It's in, and I use this one a lot, Proverbs 30, verse 4. It says, Mi kim kol ha-se'aretz mi'alal ha-shamayim v'mi'arad, who has established all the ends of the earth? Who has gone up into the heavens and come down? Now, who else could that be? Only God. Nobody else could establish the ends of the earth. And then it says, who has gathered the winds in his fist? And then it says at the end, Ma shemo ma shem bano kitera. What is his name? And what is the name of his son? And then the English says, tell me if you know. But that's actually not what the Hebrew says. It's kind of interesting. Once you start learning the Hebrew, you get the little nuances that are very subtle. So the Hebrew says, what is his name and what is the name of his son? And then it just says, ki tada, which means not tell me if you know. It simply means, for you will know. There's no if, there's no maybe. It's actually prophetic. God is saying, I have a son, and you're going to know his name. So I asked the rabbi, so mazotomer kitada, what does that mean? Kitada. And he said, kitada. I mean, we were speaking Hebrew. So, and then I asked him a second time, and he said, kitada. And I asked him a third time. And then it hit him. And he said, wait a minute. God has a son? And I'm going to know his name? What's his name? So I told him, Yeshua, Ruah Mashiach B'Yisrael. Jesus, he's the Messiah of Israel. Well, he was driving the car and he was kind of like, and he said, I don't exactly agree. And I was praying like crazy, just, oh, Spirit of God, please come in the car now, that this dear man would get a revelation of who you are. And God did send his Spirit into that car. And we had the most incredible conversation about the Messiah. And do you see what I'm getting at here? The Word of God is true. Absolutely. There's no doubt. And he's given us all these little clues. He's given us all these little things like Proverbs 34, verse 4. God is saying, I have a son and you're going to know who it is. But we don't see that one. Isaiah 53, the best description of the Messiah. It's even better than a description in the New Testament because it's so clear and condensed what he did for us. And we don't see that one either. We miss so many of the scriptures because we don't read them with the light bulb on. But there's another new phenomena that started in Israel just recently. I have a lot of friends who have shops in Tiberias. It's the biggest city near our little village. And so I go into town, and a lot of the shopkeepers, they know I'm a believer. I've shared with a lot of them. A couple times they've seen a tour group walking by, and they'll say to me, hey, look, Caroline, look, it's Nozrim, it's Christians. And I've asked them, you know, how do you know? And they'll say, well, some of them have light on them. Another time, as I mentioned, our tent-making ministry, we have the groups who come to our home. But sometimes if a group is too big, then we'll go to their hotel. And I've got a little sound system. I'll bring my guitar, piano, and lead worship and share there. And so one time I was in a hotel, just pretty much like this, with the people facing me, and I was like this with the guitar. I was just finishing a time of worship, and I opened my eyes and I saw in the back was an ultra-Orthodox Jewish lady. And she was standing there looking at everybody from the back. So anyway, I was just finishing worship. I put the guitar down and Richard came up to speak. And I went out after her and just walked up to her and said, hey, Machashaft, you know, what did you think? And she said, who were those people in there? And I said, Nozrim, Christians. And she said, didn't you see? They all had light resting on their heads. So this is another sign that is happening in Israel when you all come there and you shine, literally shine for Jesus in the land of Israel. And I get so excited about that. So, you know, I'm going to share one last testimony. This one happened right before we left. We're actually here in America just for 2 weeks, two weekends. So it was a very short trip. We were here for an equipping seminar in Abilene, Texas. It's called Heart Sync Ministries, as in synchronization of the heart. It's an inner healing ministry. Richard and I are starting to understand the desperate need for discipleship in Israel. So we're trying to learn this and then take it back with us. Also, this weekend, we're going to another equipping seminar with Luke 10 Ministries. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But we want to take these things back and use them in the land to clean the fish, you know, when they get caught. So there's one of the things from Luke 10 Ministries that's, you know, it's Luke 10:2. You know the scripture. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. And so every day at 10:02, in response to Luke 10:2, my iPhone goes off. And Richard and I stop what we're doing and we say, Hineinu Adon Shlach Otanu. Here we are, Lord, send us into your harvest field. And what we have, since we started doing that about 6 months ago, nonstop, we have seen so many people come to us and start asking us questions. You know, really, when you think about evangelism, so many people feel like it's like selling a car. They got to get pumped up and then like get out there and really do this work or something. I don't think that's what Yeshua meant. Because according to that prayer, he said, beseech, beg the Lord of the harvest to send you into his harvest fields. He'll do it. But we just need to be faithful and continually ask him. Like the woman who came to the unrighteous judge and just kept asking until the judge finally said, okay, enough, I'll give you what you want. You know, and we just need to ask Yeshua, and he delights in us. He delights to bring people to us if we're willing to share Messiah's love with them. And since we started praying that, we have so many testimonies. One that happened right before we flew out in the summer, and we were at a concert. And this young man sat next to Richard, and we just started talking, and it turns out he just completed his rabbinical studies, so he's a rabbi. So he kept looking at us, and he said, but actually, I'm considering my post-rabbinical studies, and I'm looking into, and he kind of looked at us, I'm looking into the claims of Yeshua. So, yeah. So I said to him, well, you know, it's not an accident that you sat down next to us. Because I'm a Messianic Jew. So right after I said that, from behind me, a young woman said, oh, you're one of those? I've always wanted to know what you believe. Can you tell me more? So I turned around and was talking with her while Richard continued to talk with the rabbi. And, just so many testimonies like this. I told Richard, you know, I have wondered how it was going to be. Remember when I mentioned at the beginning, Yeshua said, you will not see me until you can say, Baruch Haba, welcome. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I told Richard, you know what? For the first time, I see this scripture starting to come to light. And we're going to see more and more and more. The persecution is also going to get worse, okay? This is such as life. Yeshua had similar problems, so why wouldn't we? But we actually, since this new video came out, the great Jewish leader, we actually hired 3 more young Israelis. We had to up it to 6, and we're committed to paying their salaries because these young men and women are really boots on the ground. They're meeting people all the time. They're bringing to the congregations, and things are happening. It's just, I'm so excited about it. You can tell, yeah? If anybody would like to, I'm just going to pass this out and somewhere in here, yeah. We have these little slips. If anybody does want to partner with our ministry, what really helps us the most is monthly giving, even a small amount, just because then with our commitment to pay their salaries, we can do that. You can do it with a credit card or just write void on a check, and we can do it that way with an amount. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Because I want to leave a little bit of time for any questions that you might have. Yes. The Ministry of Interior, the Misrad Panim, is the one who grants you citizenship, or they can take it away if you recently made Aliyah and they find out you're a believer. But we've already been in Israel 14 years. We've been citizens. And both of our sons served their full time in the IDF. And so because of that, legally, they cannot kick us out, which I'm sure they're not too happy about. But both of our sons married beautiful young women of God, but they're not Jewish, either of them. And so what the Ministry of Interior has decided to do instead is persecute our daughter-in-laws. And they won't give them the rights that they're due. They won't give them their citizenship. In fact, Ariel, who you saw in the video, his wife, Shayla, they actually told us in the spring that Shayla had till June 30th, and then they were going to throw her out. And they have three kids that are born in Israel. I mean, it's illegal, but it's an arm of the Israeli government. So then we had to get a lawyer and fight it. And it has not been easy, the persecution. But you know what? Even aside from that, I was in Tiberias, and I was really upset about it not too long ago. And so I stopped into our personal lawyer, Adi. He is a secular Israeli Jew. And I just went in there to maybe complain a little bit about the situation. And he, that was the first time he had heard this, and he got really upset. And he said, it's totally illegal. He said, do you need a lawyer? And I said, well, we have one. And so we started talking about other things. And we needed him to help us with another case. And then he kind of called me in a little bit because there was somebody else in the office. And he said, by the way, I've started reading in the New Testament. I was so happy about that. Anyway, yeah, another question. Ah, sure. That is our tent making ministry that I mentioned earlier, where we welcome tour groups into our home with the hopes of raising up informed intercessors and prayer warriors for Israel. And what we do is we have time of worship. We share similar testimonies to what I'm sharing tonight. And then we go up on our roof. We have, you know, typical, like in the Bible, we have a flat roof, and we serve dinner. And you have a view of the Sea of Galilee, the Golan Heights, the Jordan Valley, just gorgeous. So that's the Living Stones. Because we call it that because many people come to Israel on tour groups and they see the ancient stones, but they never really connect with any believers in the land. And it's like, you know, Israel, okay, it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here and that's it. Now you just have wars or something. No, God is still moving in Israel today. And we're living stones to testify of what he's doing. You know, that's a good question. I want to give honor, though, to the many Christian missionaries who lived in Israel before the Jewish remnant came to such a large number. Because the estimates are around 25,000 Jewish believers. And it's a small number out of 6 million Jews, 8 million altogether. But I just want to honor the missionaries who came before us, because with their love and their prayers, they paved the way for us. But yeah, I think it is important. I know for me personally, I was, just for my testimony, after university, I was a hippie and totally lost into the New Age. And I was living in Mexico, and I had a vision, and I saw Jesus. He revealed himself to me. And the thing that scared me was, I thought I was the only Jew in the world who believed, so I didn't know who I could tell. And so I was a secret believer for 4 years. And I believe today in Israel there are many, many secret believers. After 4 years, the Lord led me to a Messianic congregation, and there I found out I wasn't the only one. But that was really, what was really important to me was to be, I mean, I love the church, I love the body of Messiah, but as growing up with the Orthodox synagogue, I needed to worship on Shabbat and see the Shabbat candles lit. And not in a legalistic way. It's just part of the culture I came out of, and I love it. And I see how God is using it in Israel today. I am an identifiable Jew living in Israel, and Israelis see that. When we're talking Hebrew, a lot of them think, you know, I'm just typical Israeli, that's all. But then when I share what I believe, and they already like me, you know, so then it would be a little hypocritical to then just throw me away. And that's kind of how it is with a lot of other friends who are Jewish believers in the land. We seem to have reached a critical mass, and we're working. We're there, you know, we're not there just because, you know, when you think of the word missionary, You think of somebody who goes to a place that's not their land. And they, you know, live there, but they always have their home to go back to. Well, as a Jew, I don't have another home. That's the only home I have, is Israel. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, that's a very good question. And as always, I look to the scripture for my answer. And it says that you're supposed to provoke us to jealousy. So what does that look like? What if you were to do a Passover Seder when Passover comes? Have you ever done one here? I don't know if you have. And I don't want to, you know, no pressure to do one. But if you've ever done, Messiah is so in the Passover. It's all about Jesus all the way through it. And if you did one and you said to a Jewish friend, oh yeah, we were at a Passover Seder, then the Jewish person is thinking, wait a minute, that's my holiday and you, a Christian, did it? You know, like, and that's a little provoking, you know. But when you look at Leviticus 23 and what does it say? It says, these are the feasts of the Lord. They're not the Jewish holidays. They're the feasts of the Lord. God gave them to us. Why? Not to be legalistic about them in any way. But all the feasts are all about Jesus. He is all the way through them. The depth and the riches as you study the feasts are incredible. But when a Christian says they, you know about the feasts, that provokes us to jealousy. Or you could say, I love the God of Israel. That's a simple one. And then the Jewish person is thinking, wait a minute, that's my country. And I don't even know my God. How do you know him? One other thing. This is a great thing to give if you have Jewish friends. This is a booklet that our son, Ariel, and Richard wrote. We needed a booklet like this in Israel. It's very short and very colorful. You know, the problem in Israel and with most Jews, most are atheists or agnostics. And they'll tell you that. And they'll tell you why. Because of the Holocaust. They'll say, how can there be a God who really loves us when 6 million of us perished so horribly? And there are no easy answers for that. And, you know, we don't write it off. It happened and it was horrific. But may I suggest that we look at Jewish history from Abraham till today. Look at the big picture. Most Jews are just focused on the Holocaust. But if we look at the big picture, we see how God has been so faithful. And that's what this booklet explains. We have had so many testimonies where we've given over 20,000 of these away for free in Israel, in Hebrew and Russian. And many times the Israeli will say, no, I'm an atheist. After they read this booklet, they say, wow, I guess I'm not an atheist anymore. There must be a God. But they'll often say, but I don't want the rabbis telling me what to do. But this is a great tool to give to a Jewish friend. And we have a lot of these. We encourage people to get, and when you get the booklets, it helps us to make more. I wish we could give all our stuff away free. We also have my CDs in the back, worship songs. And they're all different. I can explain them in the back afterwards. But those are really our outreach tools. That's how we use them. We give them away free to pre-believers in the land. So maybe one more question. Yeah, there is. There is. And you're right, we don't know for sure because we don't want to put God in a box. And, you know, he doesn't have to do things according to our timelines. What's that? I know. That's true. That's true. Why does he do that? I would, you don't know. But there is an expectancy. Typically, good things and bad things come together in Israel. And it usually means war and some devastation. But then out of that, out of the ashes, comes the next revival and the next phase. And that's what a lot of us are sensing. Something big is on the horizon. I mean, right now, I don't know if you know this, but in southern Lebanon, there are about 250,000 missiles aimed at us in northern Israel. You know, I don't think they built them just for fun. So what that's going to look like, we don't know. But let me just give you an example, though, about Israel. And this is another boasting on God thing. We have a friend who teaches at West Point. He was in one of the tour groups in our home. And he was telling Richard and I, he said, you know, we study at West Point Academy. We teach on the wars, World War I and II, and Korean War, Vietnam War. But we never study the wars of Israel. And I asked him, why not? And he said, because your wars don't make any sense. And, you know, thinking about it, he's absolutely right. Like, in 1948, we declared statehood May 15th. The very next day, we were attacked by five surrounding Arab nations. And you know what we had in our arsenal? Mostly, the soldiers were mostly Holocaust survivors, plus a few American Jews who came over. And we had one tank and two airplanes, and we won. I mean, what are the chances of that, you know? That's our God. That's our God. Yeah. So I would like to close with one last song, and I see you have a flute. Do you want to play with me? Yeah? Okay. There we go. Is that better? Okay. So the chorus is Hu Chai. Can you say that? Hu Chai Batochi. Batochi. It means he lives within me. Say it one more time. Hu Chai Batochi. Yeah, it's a little kind of sound. Elohim hivtiach l'shloach et ha-goel Hu shalach oto Hu shalach oto Elohim has promised to send to us the Redeemer. He sent him, yeah, he sent him. Hu chai b'tochi. Hu chai b'tochi. Sing with me, yeah? Hu chai b'tochi. Hu chai b'tochi. Hu chai. Elohim natan li hatchala chadasha. Hu shechrer oti. Hu shechrer oti, hu shechrer oti. Elohim has given a new beginning to me. He released me. He released me. He set me free. Hu chai b'tachim. Hu chai b'tachim. Hu chai. Hu chai b'tachim. Hu chai. Hu chai b'tachim. Lord, we thank you that you live in each one of us here. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for eternal life through the blood of Yeshua. There's no better gift. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon each one of you. May he be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asim lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua Mishchinu, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, I bless you from out of Zion. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing with us.
Carolyn, what a blessing. I gained a lot of personal knowledge. I pray that the things that have been spoken tonight and revealed to us would become revelation, rhema. And that at the right moment, you're able to draw from the things in which God's chosen one has been able to speak to us, a tool. And I bless Carolyn, we as a church, continue to strengthen her, to guide her, to see her through on any soil and her family. And I pray, Lord, a hedge of protection around them. That though it is a tough world, it is harsh, Lord, our trust is in you. Our faith is in you. And your word is rock solid. And that we believe too. So we bless her. As we go, Lord, may we be a benefit to you and your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.